Thank you, Adam. Yeah, Gnosticism has much to recommend it, actually. I think if the early church leaders would have stayed with Gnosticism, we might be in some ways very much better off now than we have been otherwise. I think Gnosticism in some ways, though it has a certain amount of baggage, is more authentic to the truth that Jesus was bringing than what subsequently the early church leaders came up with. In a sense, I could say that I'm a Gnostic. Not an agnostic, but a Gnostic, because I'm interested in getting back to the genuine, to the very presence that I am, that divine core of my being, that primal spirituality from which I came and which I seek to bring into the world. And that is kind of what the Gnostics were getting at, although they went a little bit off the deep end at times. But basically, they were into a pattern of truth that was in subsequent years pretty much ignored by the early church of Christianity. And I was listening to a recording of Martin not long ago. It was a class he gave in 1981 in the assembly that we had on Sunrise Ranch. And he was saying that there was a substantial core of truth in the Gnostic approach. But on the other hand, he said there was another core of truth in the Christian approach. And so he wasn't inclined to reject either of them. I think he appreciated what Christianity brought because of its elevation of Jesus, its acknowledgement of Jesus as being a being, a person on earth of supreme significance. And so in that sense, Christianity had something beautiful to bring. But for us now, I think maybe getting back to more the Gnostic approach, the primal spirituality approach, getting back to that fundamental approach to living. As Swami Biyandananda said, well, he said he is bringing a new religion, a non-religion called fundamentalism, with the emphasis on fun. Fundamentalism. And that's what we want to get at. Yeah, I mean, it's all very light and easy. It's not a matter of piling up a lot of beliefs and coming from that kind of programming. You know, I went to the Halloween party last night, and I was the oldest person there, as probably some of you might have surmised. And I didn't really bring much of a costume. I just found an old choir robe over in the dome, and I put that on. But there were a lot of characters at the Halloween party who were really into it. They brought these amazing characters. There was an amazing range of characters at the party. And, you know, as I was saying in our pre-service meeting, what if these characters, the people who were behind the characters, what if they actually got so into the character that they didn't want to let go of it, and they wanted to continue to present that character from now on? And I was kind of worried about Gary today wearing that wig around. I mean, God, did you really come out of that character fully? I'm wondering. But, you know, this is what people tend to do in the human state. They put on these masks, they portray these characters, they present these personalities, and it's simply some programmed, some conditioned character. It doesn't really represent the truth of themselves at all. And, you know, quite often actors in movies or TV dramas, they portray a particular character and they don't want to come out of the character. And if you would see them on the street, you would think of them in terms of the character that they portrayed in the movie or the drama rather than the real person that they are. And this is so true. This is the basic, what I would call the sickness of our world. We're running around in all of these costumes, we're presenting all of this programming, all of this conditioning, and it tends to be rather rare that the authentic self, the true self, actually comes out into full expression. I was sent a wonderful video by a good friend of mine, and it was a dialogue between Tom Campbell, who is a physicist, and Bruce Lipton, who's a biologist, and they were talking about all of this, how people are just presenting their conditioning and their programming, and that they need to get back to just pure consciousness. This is where we come from, just consciousness. We are all just conscious beings. And they put emphasis on the being, being with a capital B. We are beings operating consciousness. But when we allow that consciousness to become cluttered with all of this programming, then the being doesn't have a chance to come out into expression. And they were talking about epigenetics, something that we have discussed here. David brought something of that recently. It's kind of an interface between being and consciousness, and it allows being to come forth without all of the conditioning and programming that tends to seep into consciousness. You rise above the genetic programming to epigenetics, which means above the programming. So this, to me, is what we're here to bring, and it's a great privilege for me to be with you bringing that. I sense an authentic expression coming forth from everyone in this room at this time, letting all of that past programming, all of the costumes, all of the character, not as though we don't want to present a character at times. I mean, it's kind of fun. And when we are coming from our true selves, then we are free to present a character to the world. If we're not free in ourselves, then we tend to become bound by the character. But being free as a being coming from primal spirituality, yes, I can project a wizard character, Walter Wizard III, which I sometimes do, or Reverend Malcolm Mindblower, the hippie minister that I used to portray. I'm free to do that because I know that I'm coming from who I am. So, thank you.